Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
Today we're in Colossians chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 18 through 23. So if you have your Bibles today, turn to Colossians chapter 2 and follow along as I begin reading in verse number 18. The Bible says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not beholding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth to the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." I want to begin today's lesson by introducing it, quoting from Richard Mellick Jr. as we introduce this lesson. He writes, "As Paul called them to remember their past experience, he also pointed to the present. They continued to live with the same life view that characterized non-Christians. They were preoccupied with this world. Paul's teaching reveals that any preoccupation with this world and its ways sidetracks Christians. Too often, Christians let the practical issues of the world become reference points for their spiritual development. This may happen in two radically different ways. Christians may become preoccupied with this world by indulging in its activities, lives of luxury, licentiousness, and lust destroy spiritual insight and growth. Christians also easily become preoccupied with this world by measuring their Christian growth in terms of this world and its reference points. Thus, they look to their separation from the world as evidence of their Christian maturity. In this, their spiritual road signs are the things of this world rather than the things of Christ. This latter situation was the problem at Colossae. They were looking to worldly wisdom to measure spirituality. When this occurs within the church is misdirected and lives are powerless. Paul countered this by discussing the nature of the false teacher's attack by providing reasons Christians should not submit to them." So we understand that Paul is still dealing with issues that were happening in the church at Colossae. So far, the Apostle Paul has warned the church at Colossae, and God has warned us against the dangers of intellectualism, ritualism, and legalism. He concludes this chapter by including the dangers of mysticism and asceticism. So we're going to deal with those dangers today, the dangers of mysticism and asceticism. First of all, in verses 18 through 19, we deal with the danger of mysticism. Once again, the Apostle Paul writes, "Let no man beguile you," or trick you, in other words, "of your reward in a voluntary humility." And he's talking about there a false humility. "And worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head," that's referring to Christ, "from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God." What's at stake here with the danger of mysticism? Well, basically a rewarding experience as opposed to a false experience. It's so easy for us, if we're not grounded in the Word of God, to be deceived by false teachers. And our knowledge and experience and being in the Word of God every day guards us from being beguiled or being tricked by false teaching. So a rewarding experience is what God wants for us, as opposed to a false experience that doesn't last. The false teachers were undermining the truth with false mysticism. Warren Wiersbe described false mysticism this way: the belief that a person can have an immediate experience with the spiritual world completely apart from the Word of God or the Holy Spirit. There are many people today who are involved with the occult, involved with spiritism, and many things that we ought not to be involved in that are apart from the Word of God. And that's dangerous territory for any person to be engaged in. Extra-biblical experiences and practices can be very dangerous, not just to our thinking, but also to our lives in an everyday sense, because we're following a false and dangerous doctrine. We might deceive ourselves with a false humility. For some, it has led in verse number 18 to a worship of angels. We may open ourselves literally up to demonic activity. That's why the Bible warns us about certain activities that people are delving in today that are contrary to the truth, but not only contrary to the truth, but dangerous to us as well. I want to share with you a couple of scriptures today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, and I'm reading in verses 13 through 15. Paul warns the Corinthian believers, "For such are false apostles." The word apostle, remember, is a sent one. "For such are false apostles," or false sent ones, "deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." In other words, these are counterfeits. They're presenting themselves in the religious world as sent from God, but they're not sent from God. Look at verse 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing," Paul warns, "if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." There's one thing that we need to understand, Christian, is that there are a lot of false antichrists out there today who are presenting themselves in the religious world as somebody that's representing God, when in reality, they are representing Satan. They're representing that which is false as opposed to that which is true. In the book of Galatians, Paul writes in chapter 1, in verses 6 through 9, he said, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Over and over again, the Apostle Paul kept reminding Christians they are in danger of false teaching, in danger of those who are presenting themselves from God without the authority of the Word of God. And we are always to be grounded into the Word of God so that we can discern that which is right and that which is wrong. And not only that, but extra-biblical experiences and practices can be dangerous, not simply because we can deceive ourselves with a false humility, and some are led away to the worship of angels and open up to demonic activity, but also, ultimately, it expresses itself as pride. And that's what the false teachers were doing. They were proudful, as though they had an inside teaching or an inside knowledge of spiritual things, when in fact, they did not, because they weren't grounded in God's Word. True spiritual nourishment and growth comes from Christ, and it comes from His church. I'm not talking about religion here. I'm talking about Bible-based, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Christ-honoring churches. In Ephesians chapter number 4, the Bible says, beginning in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And this is what Paul was talking about in Colossians verses 18 and 19, especially in verse number 19, where he says, "And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministereth, and knit together increaseth with the increase of God." You see, God's churches, God's places of worship that are teaching the Word of God is looking to the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ. And he's given us his Word, which is our guidebook of faith and teaching and these things. But here were these false teachers coming in, and they were teaching mysticism. No, we can go beyond the Word of God. We can go beyond Christ. And Paul's saying, that can't be true. That can't be true. We need to always lift up the head of the church. Lift up the head, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Religion versus a personal relationship. Again, we always see this false teaching about religion, man's works, and what he can do, as opposed to what Christ has already done in a personal relationship with him. Well, he moves on here in Colossians chapter 2 and verses 20 through 23, dealing with the danger of asceticism. Asceticism, this is a life of self-denial. If you look back in Colossians chapter 2, verse 20, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world," the ABCs of the world, "why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using." All of these man-made rules are going to perish with the using, he writes. "After the commandments and the doctrines of men, their origin isn't from God, it's from man, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." So asceticism is a life of self-denial. David Jeremiah describes it this way. He says, "Asceticism is the idea that self-denial is a way to earn favor from God. Asceticism is an entirely negative approach to life. It is characterized by the word no and don't." You know, there's an idea that those who deny even the desires that God has given us in our bodies is to show an area of a higher spirituality. And that's just simply not true. Subjecting oneself to a list of do's and don'ts that originate from man's ideas and not from the scriptures themselves, not from the Holy Spirit's urging within us, those things that come from without do not mean that we are more spiritual than others. Subjected to these commandments and these doctrines of men. Oliver B. Green wrote, "The gross error in this teaching is the looking for holiness in outward things rather than in the inward things of the heart." Such error is common in the church today. We're dealing with a danger today that is very common, he writes, and that is asceticism. Carnal Christians are guilty of the same thing in the sense that they are placing this burden of do's and don'ts even upon other Christians, not just themselves, thinking, boy, if I don't do this and I don't do that, I must be more spiritual, when that's not what the Bible teaches at all. A life of show, but of no substance or value. William Henderson wrote, "Neglect of the body will never cure the soul." When I'm looking at verse number 23, where Paul writes, "Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility." In other words, it's just an outward show. There's no reality. There's no spiritual growth, no spiritual maturity just because someone shows these outward do's and don'ts of man's origin. He says, in neglecting the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. I like what Scofield's reference Bible says regarding that last sentence. He said, which do not really honor God, but only satisfy the flesh by creating a reputation for superior sanctity. It's all a show, but a believer's true identity is with Christ. When a person gets saved and they receive Christ as their personal Savior, the Bible says that individual has been born again. He has received a new nature at the moment of receiving Christ as his Savior. I want to call your attention to the book 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to read with you in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Notice what Peter wrote. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Now remember, Paul was warning those in Colossae that it's from the inside. It's by turning to the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, having a relationship with him. That's what matters, not keeping an outward rules of do's and don'ts. And it's exactly what Peter's saying, partakers of the divine nature. What's on the inside? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, Peter writes, if these things are in you, if you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and you're growing in Christ, all of these things that we're to do and the things we're not to do will come from the inside because of our new nature, not because somebody put down a list of do's and don'ts. And he says here in verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, just as Paul said, Peter said, it's in our relationship to the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, having a personal relationship, having him as our Lord and as our Savior. Very quickly, I'm looking in Romans chapter number 13. In verse number 14, where once again, the Apostle Paul writes, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It all boils down to, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Does he live within you? If you're a Christian today, there was a point in time that you received him as your personal Savior. If he's dwelling within you, he is your head as well as the head of the church. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8, the Bible also says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life which now is and of that which is to come. All of these verses that I'm sharing with you are just talking about having a new nature once the Lord Jesus Christ moves into your life. And he changes us, not from the outside. He changes us from the inside. For you see, at the moment of salvation, we are indwelt. Get this, this is hard to comprehend, but we're indwelt by the Spirit of God. If you're a believer today, your body is a temple of God. I was reading in the news recently that some individual was about to be named a saint in a particular religious group. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. You become a saint or a separated one at the moment of salvation in the eyes of God. We live as believers according to the Word of God, led by the Spirit of God. we fellowship and we draw strength from the body of Christ. I would encourage each and every one of you today, if you're not a part of a Bible-believing, God-honoring local assembly, you need to search out a good church in your area. There may be some that listening to my voice today that you don't have such an opportunity, and maybe you could be the reason there could be the beginning of a local church in your area. Seek out God's will and direction in that. I would encourage you. I want to share with you something, an illustration David Jeremiah writes about. And he said Dennis DeHaan related the story first told by Peter Krift. And here's how it goes. A poor European family saved for years to buy tickets to sail to America. Once at sea, they carefully rationed the cheese and bread they had brought for the journey. After 3 days, the boy complained to his father, "I hate cheese crackers. If I don't eat anything else before we get to America, I'm going to die." Giving the boy his last nickel, the father told him to go to the ship's galley and buy an ice cream cone. When the boy returned a long time later with a wide smile, his worried dad asked, "Where were you?" "In the galley, eating 3 ice cream cones and a steak dinner." "All that for a nickel?" "Oh, no." "The food is free," the boy replied. "It comes with a ticket." DeHaan said the Apostle Paul warned his readers about false teachers who were offering them bread and cheese instead of steak. They were in danger of forgetting Christ's sufficiency and relying on their own self-effort. We who have trusted Christ for salvation have been assured not only of safe passage to heaven, but also of everything we need to live for Him here and now. Dr. Jeremiah writes, "So don't be intimidated by the spiritual bullies around you. You are complete and righteous in Christ." Remember the 3 warnings of this passage. Beware lest anyone cheat you. Let no one judge you. And let no one cheat you. We are in danger today of being misled by those who claim asceticism, who claim denying the things of the body, denying eating certain foods, denying of going certain places, that makes you more spiritual. My friend, that couldn't be further from the truth. It's a gross error in teaching to go that path. Warren Wiersbe wrote, "The answer to legalism is the spiritual reality we have in Christ. The answer to mysticism is the spiritual union with Christ, the head of the church. The answer to asceticism is our position in Christ in death, burial, and resurrection." Paul reminded those in Colossians in verse number 22 that all of these commandments, these man-made commandments, would one day perish. I just want to remind us today that when we stand before God, we're not going to be judged by the commandments and wishes of men, but we are going to be judged according to the Word of God. So I would encourage, if you're a believer today, get into the Word of God and let the Word of God get into you. One of the things that is so dangerous today is that people are interpreting the Word of God by their experience. That is so backwards. We should always interpret our experience by the Word of God. Father, we thank you this day that you've given us the opportunity, Lord, to learn, to be warned about these false doctrines that are coming into our churches, Lord, whether it be intellectualism, whether it be ritualism, whether it be legalism, and those that we study today of mysticism and asceticism. Lord, all of these things are but substitutes. All of these things are but counterfeits to the truth that we have in a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I pray today that Christ is uplifted, and those that are within the sound of our voice, Lord, would look to you for all things, for salvation, and for a life, Lord, that's with purpose, and that you would use each and every one of us, Lord, to bring honor and glory to you. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.